Hello again, and welcome back to the Vox Pop, WMC's live daily afternoon call and talk show. I'm Alan Chartok. Hurricane Sandy made landfall sooner than anticipated yesterday afternoon, reverting to what forecasters are now calling a tropical cyclone. The jargon will likely mean little to those across the Northeast today who are dealing with the aftermath of the storm, from power outages across New York, Massachusetts, Connecticut, and Vermont, to halted public transit, to a second day of closure on the New York Stock Exchange. Today, we want to know how you fared through the storm and what's happening in your area today. And that can run from the tragic and the terrible things that have happened to people, including loss of life, to some of the more humorous things and reconnecting with the way in which things used to be before there were all of these distractions. Give us a call at 1-800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551, or tweet us at WAMCVoxPop. That's one word. You can also leave your questions and comments on our Facebook page at facebook.com/WAMCRadio. Also joining us in the studio is no one, just me. We're about out of time, but we're not. So I want to hear from you. I'd love to hear what's going on in Ulster County. I'd like to hear what's happening up in Plattsburgh. I'd like to hear what's happening in Schenectady. You name it. And the further down we get towards New York City, the more interesting in terms of the major complications there are. So the phones are all lighting up now. We got two free phones. Let me hear from you. David in New Paltz. David, you're on.
Yes, I'd like to say that the first responders did an excellent job, both in Irene, Lee, and Sandy here. And they were up all night, and they were there when nobody else was.
You
and
know
the
what?
Only other thing I have to say is that Ryan and Romney came out and said that Sandy was a terrific Tea Party storm because it shut down the government. And that's the kind of big change that he's looking forward to.
They really said that? I mean, I didn't hear it. I did hear the president declare the emergency status in the two places. And
this
I heard
is Romney and
Ryan.
Ryan talking to their constituents. Huh.
Okay, David, thank you very much. Appreciate your call.
Bye.
Yeah. 1-800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551. You know, that's interesting as to whether or not politics gets mixed up in these things. You know, everything is political when you come down to it. But let's see what Victor has to say in Woodstock. Hey, Victor, things are bad down there, right?
They could be better. They could be a lot better.
Yeah, you know, Arselma didn't make it to work today because she couldn't get out of the driveway. Trees falling in front of her house and, you know, the street. What is it about Woodstock that sort of every time we have a storm, there's a problem?
I don't really know, but I'll tell you, I'm a holistic dentist and I have an office here that burned to the ground yesterday because of the storm.
No, is that right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And what caused the fire?
A tree went down on the power lines, and there was a surge that blew out our electric panel. And the next thing I know, you know, we had left the office at 10 o'clock in the morning because of the, you know, canceled patients.
Yeah, sure.
We'll see everybody Thursday. You know, good luck, stay home. And next thing I know, I get a call from the Olive Fire Department saying your office burnt down.
If you had been there, Victor, would it have been, do you think that you would have been able to stop it?
I would think so, because had we been there, we would have seen the panel go up in smoke, and we would have, you know, done something immediately.
Yeah, yeah.
But the office now looks like a sci-fi movie after the alien invaders come and wipe out whatever city. It's just slag. It's not even recognizable inside as a dental office.
Well, I'm really so sorry. How much does one dental chair cost?
It depends. You know, on you know, it's like how much does a car cost? You could get a Chevy or you could get a Mercedes Benz.
Well, what do you have? So, a Chevy and Mercedes Benz?
We're kind of in the middle.
Yeah. So
you know,
what is
good stuff, but not Mercedes Benz.
So what are we talking here, money wise?
You know, I don't really know. I'm still in shock from this.
Yeah,
I was listening to you, and I just was driving out to my office, meeting the insurance adjuster.
Right.
And
right. This might not be a great time to advertise that. Victor, I feel very sorry. I do. And I know, when something interferes with our life and gets in the way, our power was out for an hour and I was ticked off. And I can fully understand what you're going through. I thank you so much for the call. Appreciate it.
Yep, and anybody else out there, good luck.
And I also want to second what our first caller had said, Victor, which was the first responders are remarkable, aren't they? And, you know, they get out there.
I have to say, the Olive Fire Department, if you want to put a plug in, they were incredible.
Yeah.
I left there, and just from their kindness, I broke out into tears.
Wow.
As soon as I went back into my car and I just sat there and sobbed. My wife was with me, and it was... They passed the shock level that I was at and reached me as like one human being to another.
Yep.
And it was just it was a warm thing. And I said to him, as soon as we get the office up, any of you guys need dental work, you give me a call.
Whoa.
And then I went out and just broke down and cried.
Victor, thank you so much.
Life in the food chain, as they say. You're very welcome, Alan. You take care.
Yeah, you too. Bye. Let's go to Charles in Huntington. Charles in Huntington, you're on.
Yes, hi, Alan. Mine is so minor, but maybe I can learn next time, and maybe somebody else can learn from what I didn't do. Having a major barn repaired, I bought one of these big portable tent garages at Tractor Supply. And well secured, everything secured, have tractors in there and so forth. Well, it's all over the ground. What I should have done, I think, is to have opened both doors.
Oh,
you know, both flaps.
Yeah, yeah.
Would that make sense?
Not to me, because I don't know anything. But
they
say to do that, open the windows when you get a funnel cloud coming at you.
That's right. But Alan, real quick, yesterday, bless your heart, you talked about siphoning gas from a car.
Yeah.
Now, you might have been able to do that on your 57 Bel Air.
Right.
All new cars have screens in the gas line.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
I also got bawled out, Charles, by somebody else who said, even kidding around, which I was, you never put gasoline anywhere near your mouth because, you can rip out your esophagus.
Yeah.
I took that much to heart.
Well, when you're on a farm, yes, you have those bulbs you can squeeze and so forth.
Yeah.
But, blessings to everybody who were hurt by it. But the other, as you said, if somebody else has one of those things and it gets windy, open both of those flaps. It might help, maybe.
Yeah.
That's fine. Okay.
Well, I don't know. It gets under there. I bought two wood things. They're now selling wood in Great Barrington. It's great, a great thing. And if I remember the guy's name, I would tell you, but I don't. And they have iron. It comes in sort of iron. And instead of having wood falling all over the place, they deliver, a quarter of a cord. But it's in this thing. And the only problem with it is it doesn't have a top on it. So in order not to get the rain on it, I put the top on it. That top flew away because it was really well secured with, these thong things or whatever you call them. And the wind gets right underneath it and rips it right up. So I don't know that your analysis
is correct. No, you're right.
Correct.
Well, listen, next time build a wood shed and you'll be all set.
Yes, that's true. Hey, Charles, thanks so much. Appreciate
Thank you
it.
Yeah, what you do, Alan. Bye.
Bye. 1-800-348-2551. 1-800-348-2551. I want to hear from you. I want to know what happened to you, good or bad. I want the poignant things that come out of this and the things that we should learn from, how we should avoid things. Let's go to Jim in Malta. 1-800-348-2551. You'll get in right after Jim this way. Go ahead, Jim. You're on.
Hi, Alan.
Hey.
Everything seemed to have gone pretty well here in Malta. Just moderate wind, not too much rain. Everything seems fine now. My main reason for calling is I have a question. I just heard 90% of Long Island is without power.
Yeah, 90%. Mm-hmm.
And I can't imagine them powering up to run these voting machines next Tuesday.
Yeah, that's a big issue.
If there's any provision in the Constitution or any precedent for delaying an election due to a natural disaster.
You know, I don't think it's a constitutional question. My friend Jerry Benjamin will call up and say, what do you know? But I don't think it's a constitutional question. I think it's a legislative question. In other words, they can change the law. And I'd have to read the election law to know what happens, because I do know that there are times when the line goes around the block and they don't get anybody in, and then they extend the time. So I'd have to read the New York State election law to get a read on that. And I'll bet if you Googled it, you'd probably find out the answer.
So it would be state by state?
Yes, it would definitely.
Oh, this could be a disaster.
Yeah. No, it definitely could. I heard an analysis the other day. I'll go real quickly on this. I heard an analysis the other day that said that the Democrats would be the losers if this happens, because the Democratic voters are often, if you're talking socioeconomic status from the middle on down, or not always the middle, of course, that's ridiculous. But and therefore, you know, if you're flipping hamburgers for $9 an hour, you may well not want to hang around too long, or you're not able to. So when you cut into the early voting, or you make it difficult to vote, the more difficult it is, the more that it helps the people, who can afford it, if you're following me.
If half the East Coast couldn't vote, you're talking about millions and millions of people.
Sure.
It just seems like that would really throw the whole election into question as being valid or not.
We've seen that before. Remember in Florida, it didn't much matter. Bush was the president for a long time. Hey, Jim, I got to let you go.
Okay,
thanks
you.
Very much. 1-800-348-2551. If your name is Frank from the Berkshires or Gene from Holyoke, you stay right there. We'll be right back.
Support for WAMC comes from Saratoga Health and Wellness, providing a 12-week weight loss program run by nutritionist and exercise physiologist. SaratogaHealthandWellness.com. The Arkell Museum at Canajoharie, presenting pastoral and parkland American landscape paintings with works by George Innes, Winslow Homer, Albert Bierstadt, and more. ArkellMuseum.org. Tom Wall Photography, specializing in a contemporary, photojournalistic approach to weddings and portraits for the entire WAMC listening area. TomWallPhotography.com. And Hawthorne Valley Waldorf School, Harlemville, New York, hosting an open house on Saturday, November 3rd from 10 to 2. Tours and activities for middle school and high school students, HawthorneValleySchool.org.
And we are back, and we thank you all for being with us. So let's see. Let's go to Frank in the Berkshires. Okay, Frank in the Berkshires, you're on.
Top of the afternoon to you, Dr. Shatak. How are you?
I'm well, and how are you, my friend?
Hey, doing outstanding. Well, first of all, you know what? My heart goes out here to all these people who lost their lives, and from the Caribbean, really, to the East Coast. Okay, that's the most important thing we should concentrate on as far as losing things. I'm still without power, but you know what? I'm far better off than a lot of people who are struggling right now.
Now, Frank, where are you?
I live in Tyringham.
And Tyringham has no power, huh?
My house has no power.
Okay, yeah. Okay.
But, I'm sure they try to restore. Yeah, the utilities company, they try their best to restore everything that they can. Okay, so you know what? I can't wait. You know?
Sure.
It's not a problem.
Okay.
When you're making a comparison to anyone else here who's lost much more,
nothing. No,
it's like doing a pound of sugar in the ocean, okay?
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right, Frank, and it's a good point to make, and I'm glad you called and you made that point. You know, patience is a big part of this. Thanks, Frank. Appreciate it. Yeah.
Thank you, sir.
Yeah. Let's go to Gene in Holyoke. Gene in Holyoke, you're on.
Good afternoon, Alan. Thank you for taking my call. We are high and dry for the most part here in Western Mass, but I couldn't help but wonder about your first caller's comment. And totally agree with him. If the Tea Party people are saying, you know, less government, less government, less government, wow, what a terrific example of more government.
Yeah.
How fortunate we are to live in a country where our government has satellites with advance notice for horrible storms, where we have first responders who work for our government, for us, who help protect us. Both before, during, and after a storm, where we have a government that's going to help us with the cleanup. I'm just grateful that we live where we live, and I'm grateful that my tax dollars help to support that.
Gene, well said, and I appreciate the call very much.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. 1-800-348-2551. Judy in New Paltz. Judy in New Paltz, you're on.
Hi, Alan. It's Judy from New Paltz.
How you doing?
I'm okay. I want you to know that I work in a state penitentiary.
Wow.
And life goes on as usual there.
What was it like? Judy, what was it like when the great storm came?
Well, actually, quite honestly, unfortunately, the men don't have their freedom, but there's no trees. We never lost electricity. Life goes on as usual with all of the various programs as routine. All the medical staff have to come to work, or unless they cannot, of course, for safety reasons, they do not, but we have to staff it anyway with other people having to do double shifts. And it's quite an insulated environment because there's no television that we're able to see about what's going on. So it's quite a difference than what's going on in the out of world.
What's your sense, Judy, of the empathy that is being felt by the prisoners for those people who are suffering? Or does it, and a second part of that would be, does it make them just sort of, uncomfortable, this whole business?
Well, prisoners are human beings, and there are people who are more compassionate towards various situations going on outside of their own personal lives, mm-hmm. and others who are self-centered, like all of us. So there were many inmates who asked how the driving conditions were and get home safe and so on, mm-hmm. and there were many others who just, wanted their routine medical care needs met as usual without a sense of understanding what it took for all the staff to get in.
Right.
So it's an interesting dichotomy. It always is an interesting dichotomy going into a penitentiary.
Are penitentiaries unsafe?
There are many people are there are committed for being criminals. But I feel very safe. We've got a wonderful staff of correctional officers who maintain a level of safety and order and provide safety for those of us who are not in security to be able to provide the services we are hired to do for the inmates.
Judy, thanks for the wonderful call. Appreciate it.
You're welcome. Bye.
Yeah, bye. Let's go to Henry in Cambridge. Henry in Cambridge, you're on.
Yeah, hi, Alan. You were talking about generators yesterday. And about 2 years ago, I had a problem where we lost electricity. The neutral leg off the pole came off and gave me 200 volts across all my 110-volt system.
Wow.
Which blew anything with a transformer right out. I installed a 7,000-watt generator that's sitting outside, and it automatically comes on. I lose power for 15 seconds. I've got power back. I've got a 100-pound tank out there, which is propane. I don't worry about gasoline getting old. I don't worry about storing gasoline. The propane is there. The company comes and checks on it probably every 2 months to see what level it is, and it works out great.
How much?
$3,500.
That's with the electrician putting it in or not?
That was with everything.
That sounds terrific. And does it run everything in your house?
It runs most of everything. It runs the we live out in the boondocks.
Yeah.
So it runs the water pump. It runs the refrigerator, freezer. It runs the oil burner, and the electric in the living room and the bathroom and some of the kitchen.
And what doesn't it run?
Basically, there things that aren't necessary.
Like?
Well, basically, I've got a room off to the side. That's my room. Nothing goes there. The living room, it's operating. The bedroom, we can always pull an extension light into the into the bedroom. But everything else, it runs.
Well, Henry, congratulations. You were able to do in your marriage what I have been able to do in mine.
Well, it's an example of protecting both of us.
Well, I agree with that, Henry, but that sometimes, there are these defining things in every marriage.
Well,
in ours, I have to say I love my wife very much, but in ours, this is really a matter of great contention. She said, the other day she said I could have it but Roselle said I could have it, but that she was going to take a like amount and go around the world with it.
Well, yeah. That's true. That might not be a bad idea either.
Well, no, I love her. I don't want her to go away. Yeah. I mean, that's the greatest threat of all. It's not the money. Hey, Henry, thanks for the call. Appreciate
okay.
it very
oh,
much.
By the way, yeah. Basically, well, no, never mind.
No,
okay.
Go ahead. No, I want to
No, hear. That's okay, Alan. I
usually well, when they say they want to hear it, then that's, you know, then that's what you really want to hear. But yeah. Henry, thanks a lot. Appreciate
okay,
it.
Okay, Alan, yeah. You take care.
Yeah, you too. 1-800-348-2551. 1-800-348-2551. Let's go to Ross in Huntington. Okay, Ross, you're on.
Hi, Alan. Thank you for taking my call. I'm over here in Huntington.
Yep.
And we lost power for about 6 hours. And
wow.
Then we have a little farm up on the hill and do a meat CSA. So we have a freezer full of, a basin full of freezers.
You said a meat CFA?
Right. We sell natural beef and
right.
lamb and goat and pork, things like that.
Okay.
And I really wanted to say two things. Number one, the guys were out there working in that storm, and they got our power back on, I know, as quickly as they could. And it's just amazing. I just really have this heartfelt thanks because they're out there working.
Yeah, yeah.
And the rest of us are in there warm and comfy.
Yeah.
You know? And the second thing was, I haven't heard any mention of climate change or global warming. Mm. And this seems like the opportune time to say, hey, look what's happening here. And to start beating that drum, and NPR doesn't do it. I haven't heard it on any other news.
Well, we had quite a discussion about it here yesterday, but you can't be listening to the radio all day long, right?
No, I've got to work sometimes.
Right. One of the things that makes me nuts is people call up and say, you never mentioned Ulster County. Guy calls up. It's such garbage. I mean, we had the county exec from Ulster County on talking about conditions and all the rest of it. And by the way, giving kudos to WAMC. And some guy writes me a letter. He says, how come I never ever hear about Ulster County? You know, I hate that because we all work hard here too, and you know, well, when that happens, you don't like it. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
I know you guys are really doing a great job of reporting yesterday.
Yeah.
I must not have heard that. I'm glad you discussed it. It does seem like an important thing.
Oh yeah, yeah.
People, there is something we can do if we work with it. So.
Yeah, yeah. We had several experts on yesterday talking about it. It was really quite something. Ross, thank you very much. Appreciate your call.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Okay. Let's go to Sheila in Rosendale. Sheila, you're on.
Hi.
Hey.
Well, my reaction today is just one of just relief. After last year's Hurricane Irene, you know, I feel like we really got spared in our area, except for that guy in Woodstock whose poor house burned down, or his office burned down.
Yeah.
But, you know, we were all set this year. We got that same generator system that the other guy mentioned, and we were ready to go, and we were like, okay, after last year, we learned the hard way. I mean, we lost our furnace and our hot water heater. We had 3 feet of, you know, water in the basement, and it was quite harrowing. So today, I just feel very, a lot of relief, but also a lot of sadness for all the people in New Jersey and the coast of Long Island, you know, all the places where the devastation seems really intense.
And how about New York
City as well?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, New York City, that is really, that's the unthinkable when that happens. I keep thinking of, speaking about climate change, I keep thinking about The Inconvenient Truth, you know, Al Gore. And when you see that film, he shows you where the lowest lying places in Manhattan are, and if the tide goes up a foot, what's going to happen? And sure enough, that's what happened.
Yeah, because we had power last night. We never even lost power at my house. I was just kind of like addicted to the pictures. Like, it was just mind blowing. Like,
oh, yeah.
it felt so, epically end of days. Just to see all that seawater just filling an entire city. I mean, that was really crazy to watch.
And you know what? We have no idea what the real ramifications of this thing are. As you know, salt water got into the subways, and salt water is incredibly corrosive.
Right
now, nobody has any idea when 8 million people are going to be able to get back on a subway every day. It's just astounding, and I have a feeling it's going to be longer than anybody expects.
Yeah, well, I have an uncle who works for the MTA. He's right. a bus driver, so yeah. he's above ground. But, you know, another one of my family members works for the MTA, and they are handling a lot right now. I mean, it's not anything they ever expected. No. But there was another picture that caught my eye, which was a guy down in New Jersey boarded up his windows with wood that he had used in 2003 for Hurricane Isabel, and then it was marked Irene 2011 and Sandy 2012, and it just feels like back-to-back, you know, they didn't get slammed last year, but we did up here, and this year we're spared, but they got it. I mean, you know, if a hurricane a year is more than, I think, you know, we can't really handle that, you
know?
Yeah,
but think, Sheila, if you were in Cuba or Haiti or any of those places which just get slammed again and again and again.
Yeah, I mean, I've always felt like, you know, very fortunate not to be there, but it looks like that's coming our way thanks to climate change.
Well, it could be. Sheila, thanks for the call. Appreciate it very much. Okay, let's go to Ed in Olive Bridge. Ed, how you doing?
Good, Alan. How are you?
Oh, so far, so good.
Yeah, I'm so far, so good. I mean, I live up in the, you know, the Catskill Mountains in Olive Bridge in Ulster County.
Yep.
And, of course, you know, 2 o'clock yesterday afternoon, we lost our electric. But that's pretty normal for this area.
Yeah, I don't get it. You know, we almost never lose it in Great Barrington. We had a little bit of an outage yesterday, but we almost never lose it. Do you think that's the electrical system itself, that every time this kind of thing happens, even before the storm hit, Woodstock was off? I don't get it.
Yeah, you know, that was the real basis of my call, okay. is that I don't remember who the president was. Was it Roosevelt who had that big project to build the railways or the highways from the East Coast to the West Coast?
Well, that was Eisenhower, actually.
Eisenhower
built the federal highway system, yes.
Right. And, you know, I mean, it seems to me like the federal... having electrical lines above ground, in my mind, and I've been around for a long time, is antiquated. And it's time to start a project that might last 10 years, it might last 15 years. I understand it's very expensive to put all the electrical lines underground.
Yeah. The
you know, especially in urban areas.
Well, first of all, I couldn't agree with you more. But then you say to yourself, okay, if it's underground and something craps out, then what do? You know, access becomes much harder than if you were finding it, you know.
Well, they have computer machines.
That's true.
Where they could go along the ground and they can see where the problem is. You dig it up, you fix the problem. But I'm sure it would happen less if they were underground than above ground. I mean, it takes one car going into a tree. It takes a tree falling down. Mm. I mean, it was 2 o'clock yesterday afternoon. We weren't even in the midst of the storm yet. And I lost my electric.
Well, let me just say, it seems to me you're right. Thank you, Ed. Appreciate your call.
Thank you, Alan. Nice talking with you.
Bye. Let's go to Jerry in Schenectady. Okay, Jerry, you're on.
Yes, good afternoon, Alan.
Hey.
As soon as I started dialing, thinking nobody's mentioned climate change, then people started doing that. And I'm sorry, I missed the part of your show yesterday that talked about that.
Right, right.
But you say, what can we learn? That warnings about global warming and climate change are now again confirmed. This is the kind of weather patterns that they predict. And we can expect more extreme weather events in the near future from this sort of thing.
Right.
Personally, I have to say, Alan, it makes me somewhat reluctant to provide aid to some of these flood communities, although I have in the last year.
Sure.
But I believe it's not going to be that long before the same disasters happen again in the same low-lying areas.
So that raises an interesting, somewhat sensitive question. I mean, you know, we do know that we have a stratified society. Mm-hmm. And we do know that people go where they can afford to go. And that if it's low-lying or if it's next to a railroad track or if it's, you know, in a place that is deemed, although I don't always agree, less desirable, that it's really not the fault of the person who's living there, which I think you're sort of blaming. Am I wrong, Jerry?
I'm not. Am I blaming them?
I'm not going to give them any money because they're living in a low-lying area.
Well, I say I'm reluctant, but I did.
Yeah,
No, I'm not blaming them.
Yeah. Okay.
You know, a lot of people live where they live too for long family, long long-standing family traditions in the area. That's where that's their homestead.
Yeah, I hear you.
But and also too, listening to Bill Moyers, I heard that there's some thinking going on now that there can be upsides to climate change, in terms of mining for minerals in Greenland and drilling for oil in the Arctic, and that people who speak against climate change are being anti-business. Anti-American. I don't know if you heard.
I have heard that
episode.
I've heard that business. Greed has no boundaries.
No, it doesn't. But my gosh, how much is it going to take for us to wake up? Because once if we can't just snap our fingers and say, okay, we'll stop doing this and expect the climate change to immediately stop.
Well, that's right. And if we do nothing and it keeps getting worse and worse and worse. Then what do you think is going to happen? I mean,
I don't think some people are thinking about it at all.
Yeah, well, they got children and grandchildren and nieces and nephews, and it's not good. Jerry, I thank you for your call. Very, very smart. Appreciate
it. Thank you, Alan.
Yeah. Okay, let's go to Paul in Williamstown. Paul. Hey, Paul.
Yeah.
Can you hold on while we take a short break, Paul? We'll be right there, okay?
Of course.
Thanks.
Support for WAMC comes from Empire Exhibits and Displays, Albany, New York. Custom exhibits, interactive displays, and commercial casework for trade shows, events, museums, and corporate interiors. EmpireExhibits.com. Bard Center for Environmental Policy, a graduate school of Bard College, hosting an open house on Saturday, November 17th, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. with students and faculty. bard.edu/CEP. Proctors, presenting political satirist The Capital Steps tonight at 8 p.m., proctors.org. And River Valley Market, Northampton, Massachusetts. Open 8 to 9 daily, specializing in locally grown foods, including fresh meat, produce, cheese, and dairy. rivervalleymarket.coop.
1-800-348-2551. 1-800-348-2551. Hey, Paul from Williamstown, thanks so much for holding on. Appreciate it.
Hey, so what do you think of the fact that we're now getting our 100-year storms every couple of years?
Yeah, that's pretty interesting, isn't it? The first one, they said, this is a once-in-a-1,000-year storm, or once-in-a-100-year storm.
They were talking things like some of the meteorological events, like this huge high-pressure system that they said was keeping the storm out to the coast, was something they hadn't seen in 1,000 years. Of course, we only had records for 186. But some of the extremes of the storm hit, but so much of the dialogue about, rising ocean levels and climate change is something that's far off into the future. And, we're being conditioned to believe that by 2050, let's say, in New York City, we'll be having water lapping at the edge of Battery Park. And last night on our television, we saw it 3 feet over Battery Park, and it's gotten here, 28 years early.
And that's not what we saw. We saw houses on fire. Flooding and the rest of it.
This is just a taste of things to come. I mean, we've been told that this is going to happen down the road,
sure.
And we're going to have to slowly wean ourselves of our fossil fuels. But have you noticed over the last 2 or 3 years, every time there's been either, say, a climate convention colloquium like the ones in Durban or other areas, they've come back with the scientists are reporting that the data is well beyond the worst possible scenario. In other words, the carbon collection in the atmosphere or any other extreme weather or temperature or ocean levels rise, or every piece of data that we get is only confirming that we're in that worse and worse trouble, and yet we make no steps to correct.
Your mouth, your idea. I keep thinking about the biblical predictions like, not water but fire the next time, and I keep thinking about, Jonah going to Nineveh and being told, everybody being told to repent. We're not repenting.
You're characterizing it in sort of like biblical allegories, but at a certain point, people can take comfort in that,
sure.
Saying, we know what's going to happen. But in reality, here it is when it's actually happening to us, everybody's still running around as if this is a rare thing. The answer is, this is happening every 2 years. This is something you've got to build into your
system. So why are we so stupid?
Well, I think we're not. I think what we've been is we've been encouraged to deny it by the people who stand to gain by denying it, notably, Exxon Corp and the other people that are making so much money on fossil fuels. They're not about to change, allow us to start thinking about
life
without
them.
But
maybe you're right. But on the other hand, let's look at it this way. What if we were all so angry And our children and our children's children and our, you know, nieces and nephews and everybody was being threatened and we were being threatened. Do you think that the American people, I mean, you seem to, Paul, you seem to be blaming it on the guys who would have their will with us or their way with us. But where are we? Where's the million people out in front of the Lincoln Memorial?
I hear you. I think that we've been lulled into a false sense of security by thinking that we don't have to do anything because the third world is polluting at a greater rate than we are. Of course, that's true, but that just means that China's going to catch us in, you know, 5 years.
But we're still the greatest polluters.
Every time I see some guy go by in his pickup truck full throttle, like, whoa, driving away, I'm thinking that guy's not part of the solution. I mean, we could get 10% more, less output tomorrow doing it the Jimmy Carter way. Zip up your sweaters and don't push the loud pedal in your car so hard.
Yeah. Hey, Paul.
You know, there are immediate solutions.
Yeah. Paul,
the fact is that we're living with the consequences for the next 50, 60 years.
A lot of people behind you, Paul. Thank you for calling. Appreciate
you're
it very
welcome.
Much. Yeah. Let's go to Jack in Glenville. Okay, Jack, you're on.
Hi, Alan. Listen, one of the things that I want to mention here, and kudos to you, is I got one of the wind-up radios.
Yep.
As a gift for contributing, and what a handy little thing!
It's fantastic.
The thing is
fantastic. First of all, you know, I expected lousy reception. The reception is phenomenal, better than any other radio in our house.
Yeah. So,
and also, you think you'd be winding the thing up forever? We didn't have time to put it on the, you know, on the solar. So we just wound it a couple of times, and then we listened for a half an hour. Nothing. No problem. Great.
It really is. And then not only, you know, you got the AM, FM, and then you got the weather station, and then I can wind it enough to charge my cell phone.
Yeah, no, there's no question. Jonas did that in New Orleans when they had their problem. He did exactly that. Hey, Jack, that's a very good point you make. I want to make another point is if anybody wants to, you know, pay up for WAMC, who's, or, you know, Christmas is coming up and Hanukkah, what a great thing to give to the children.
What a gift this would be.
Yeah. So you just go to WAMC.org, hit on pledge now, and then you just pledge. You put in your comment line and down at the bottom. You know, there's a drop-down menu, but it's not on there. But there's because we just had a few of those, as you know. And there was in the comment line, you say, please send me to radio, and you'll get it. My goodness, you may save somebody's life, your kid's life.
This is so true. And you can use it anywhere.
Now, Jack,
you could be in the woods and do it,
No question about it. I just want to make one thing clear. We don't know. We don't know each other, right?
No.
I haven't put you up to this telephone.
No. I don't know you personally. I only know you by your celebrity status.
Yeah. Right. Celebrity, very junior grade. Hey, Jack. Thanks for calling. Appreciate it.
Okay. Bye now.
Yeah. Let's go to Diane in Bolton Landing. Diane, you're on.
Hi, Alan. I heard people talking about climate change. Governor Cuomo mentioned it today in his update at noon. Yeah. I can't remember the exact language he used, but he said if anybody says this doesn't exist, they're nuts. In much better language, much more elegantly.
He was more elegant than you?
But more elegant than I, yes.
I doubt
was.
That. You know, you have a terrific voice. No, I'm glad to hear you said that. Because there are times,
bring it up and listen to it.
Yeah, I will. And times like with the fracking and other things that I have my doubts. So that's great, Diane. I'm glad you told me about that.
Great, thanks, Alan.
Thanks a lot. Bye.
Bye bye.
Yep. Let's go to Peter in Scotia. Peter in Scotia, you're on.
Hello, Dr. Chuck. How you doing?
Well, pretty good. The more important point is, how are you doing?
Very good. Very good. Very well. You know, I just saw on a front line.
Yeah.
The issue about climate change, and they're saying it's you know, I mean, it's real. They, you know, they got that across, but it's such a so politicized now.
Yeah.
That the Republicans, when they ask her, "Do you believe in climate change?" So she says they duck into elevators, especially like you know, if they have the Tea Party constituents.
Yeah.
They will not answer the question. I mean, that. You know, did you see that show?
No, I didn't. I'm usually in bed by that time. If you get up at 3 o'clock in the morning, you can't see that stuff. But tell me what you make of it. In other words, Peter, what...
I totally believe in the climate, you know, it's a you know, most of the scientists agree. Like,
sure.
This is something
that's
like 97%. Yeah. They had a Mr. Hockenberry was one of the journalists
on
that
John,
show.
John Hockenberry, yes.
Yes, sir, yes, sir. And they said this one guy who was, you know, he said he was against, you know, he would just be like a contrary to anything that was, he said years ago, he said that the ozone was not depleted. Whatever, you know, the school of thought was, he would go against it. And they say it's very much a political issue. The Tea Party, there's Americans for Prosperity. Mm-hmm. And it's just a special group, and they don't believe in the climate change. Yeah. And you know, the Republicans have to, kowtow to them.
So let me ask you this, Peter. So let's assume Romney becomes the president, and he may. I've been saying that for a long time. And what do you think happens to climate change? Do you think we get even less cognition of the seriousness of the problem?
I feel that I think President Obama is a great man.
Yeah, but that's not the question. The question is, if Romney becomes the president, what do you think the consequences in terms of climate change becomes?
It'll get a lot worse, and I think the corporatists will just run the country, and the multinationals will run it. You know, do whatever they want to do. They'll open up drilling on national tax land, mostly. I'm afraid of that.
Drill, baby, drill, they say. Hey, Peter, thanks for the call. Appreciate it very much. Okay, let's go to Alan in Stockbridge. But before we do, I want to remind you of the telephone number. You still have time to get in. 1-800-348-2551. Alan in Stockbridge, you're on.
Hello.
Hello.
Alan, this is Alan from Stockbridge.
Yep.
First, let me preface my remarks by saying that I believe very strongly that global warming is a serious issue that has to be taken care of.
Okay.
However, as a trained meteorologist, I do not believe that it had anything to do with this particular storm or anything that happened as a result of
it. Well, I'm glad you called. Why don't you tell us why you think that's so?
Well, I was in meteorology school getting my master's degree between 1954 and 1955.
Right.
Now, it just happens in those 2 years, the eastern seaboard in New England was hit by 5 storms in 2 years.
Mm.
And we didn't have a global warming issue then. There were 3 storms that hit in the fall of 54, and there were 2 that hit in the fall of 55.
Well, wait. Alan, how do you know we didn't have a global? I mean, we got a certain consciousness.
I don't know for sure, but I have seen these storms.
Yeah.
And I was stationed on the East Coast and was a weather forecaster on the East Coast, and I saw storms. And I don't see anything in this storm that reflects anything different than any of the things I've seen
except
in my lifetime as a meteorologist.
Well, first of all, I have great respect for you and great thankfulness that you're making this call. But aren't we in a terrible spot here in that we just went through a storm that has been described as a once in a thousand year storm?
Exaggerated.
Okay. So the Weather Channel was exaggerating and the mayor was exaggerating, do you think?
Yes. Yes.
Okay, well.
Yes, I watched those 5 storms in 54 and 55, and a couple of them were very, very, very bad. It's not a question of how bad the storm was. It's a question of where it hits and what it does.
Alan, thank you for your call. I just want to get everybody in. We only have a few more minutes, okay? Thanks a lot. Yeah.
You're welcome.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Thanks again. Let's go to Linda in East Fishkill. Okay, go.
Hi, Alan. This is Linda. I met you at Mr. Spitz's lecture.
Okay, great.
And I just want to say it really is a good idea to get a generator. I have a 20K generator from Generac, and I had the fanning company install it, and I have a propane tank sunk in my ground, which has it can run it for a couple of weeks. So I'm out of power. I live up on Shenandoah.
There's no power in your house now?
No. In fact, 2.5 years ago, I had a horrible experience.
Yep.
My husband died, and I was all alone.
Oh,
and they had this snowstorm, and it went down to close to 0 degrees, and I couldn't get out of my house because I had, you know, like 3 feet of snow.
Yep.
And it was horrible, and I was very upset.
Yep.
So I vowed as soon as it melted a bit, I was going to have the company come and put it in.
Yep.
And the fanning company did a great job. You know, as soon as the power goes down for like 30 seconds, you could count 30, boom, the big generator goes on. It sits under my deck. A panel in the basement goes on all by itself. And once it senses the power, you know, Central Hudson going back on again.
Yeah, but Linda, the generator, the generator is not in the house, I hope, right? The generator is
outside. No. It's outside.
Yeah, of
course. The propane tank is buried for safety.
Yeah.
And the water is coming to the tank. It's a fantastic system. Like I said, the fanning company did it for me.
Linda,
beautiful.
We try to avoid.
I just want to say they were honest. And also, what you were talking to somebody before about global warming, it is very sad in this country that the people in the science committee and the Congress don't believe in science.
Yeah.
And whatever you say, you're 100% correct.
Linda, you're wonderful. Thanks for the call. Appreciate it very much. Let's go to Kerry in Windsor. Kerry in Windsor, you're on.
Hello, Alan. How you doing? Hey, this storm we had, Sandy. You know, they're doing the road right now. I live on up here in Windsor. I'm up in a very rural hill town.
Yeah, I know
it
well.
I should have power soon. I know Sid Smithers, actually.
Yeah, so you know him too, right? Okay, go ahead.
Right. But anyways, I thought the colossal storm up here, we both live in Berkshire County, I think it was December 11th, 2009, with the ice storm. Do you remember that? Did you get whacked down in Great Barrington?
When? You mean this time?
No, 2009 it was, on December 11th.
Probably. I can't remember my kid's name, so I probably can't remember.
I was without power for 12 days then. I lost over 50 trees in my property. So that was the colossal one compared to what we just encountered. And I'm thankful that the power company's here, and they're doing a great job, and I can watch TV tonight.
Well, terrific. And thanks for the call, Kerry. Appreciate it. Say hello to Sid when you see him.
I will. Yeah,
okay,
bye-bye.
Let's go to Lauren in Woodstock. Lauren, you're on.
Hey, Alan.
Laura.
Thanks for taking my call. Yes, this is Laura.
Yeah.
Hey, so you don't think that we've been kind of dumbed down in regards to global warming and what this country is capable of by...
I think we've been dumbed down in relation to everything.
Okay, all right. So then, you know, I mean, I look at what Germany's done, and Germany has put in amazing, solar panels all over the country, and they're really progressing. China is the leading manufacturer of solar panels in the world, and that could be the United States. The United States could be leading the way in manufacturing. They could be leading the way in installations, and, you know, it's just a crime that that's not happening. And I do think that this storm is a result, and I don't care what the meteorologist just said, of our ways. And, you know, and it was a huge storm. I mean, it may not have been as devastating up here, thank God, as it could have been. But as far as its size and scope, I don't remember seeing anything this big before.
Laura, thank you very much. Appreciate it. Okay, let's go to Joe in Troy. I'm trying to get everybody in. Go ahead, Joe.
Oh, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Just regarding, you know, outside plant and power lines and telephone lines and all.
Yeah.
You know, the National Electrical Safety Code determines how these things are supposed to be built. And up here in the Northeast, we have what is called the most rigid standards for construction that are supposed to be employed.
Interesting.
Heavier than Florida with its hurricanes. And, you know, when tree trimming is absolutely important.
Oh, yeah.
And... you know, in so many communities, they fight against that because they want the aesthetics of the beautiful trees.
No, we welcome it. In fact, it just happened. The company got hired in Great Barrington. They came around. They left a notice for us, and they trimmed it, and they did it very tastefully. In fact, I would have gone further if I were them.
But if these facilities are built in accordance and maintained in accordance with the National Electrical Safety Code, we should not be experiencing, you know, they know these kind of storms come up on occasion,
sure.
Especially, you know, we get snow. And the ice and wind loading for power lines up here is dictated, you know, what kind of construction they must use.
Joe, I wish I could let you go on. I cannot. We're out of time. Thank you for your call. You made a very good point. Thank you, Joe.
Okay, bye-bye.
Okay. And that's it. We're out of time. I want to thank everyone who called in. And I really mean that. It's always wonderful to hear what you have to say. Support for the Vox Pop comes from Laurie Stillwell, CPA PC, providing tax and accounting services for businesses and their owners in Saratoga Springs and beyond. StillwellCPA.com. And Joyelle's Jewelers, Del Mar, New York, specializing in custom jewelry and repair, laser welding, designer jewelry and gifts. JoyellesJewelers.com and the Daily Hampshire Gazette. 225 years of providing news and information for Hampshire County. GazetteNet.com and Lucky Chocolates, Saugerties, New York. Organic and fair trade truffles and treats. Seasonal chocolates, LuckyChocolates.com. Thanks again, everybody, for joining us on the Vox Pop. Remember, the conversation continues online at WAMC Vox Pop on Twitter and Facebook.com/WAMC Radio. Bruce Herbach was answering the phones today. He is terrific. What a guy. And our engineer has been Zach Malloy. Your calls were answered again by Bruce. And our program producer is Patrick Donges. I'm Alan Shartok. Stay tuned now for a news update.